Here we go, the John Curley, Sherry Ehrlicher Show. Without interruption, no technical problems, but again, if for some reason this goes down, you guys will spend the next 15 to 20 minutes talking about how much you miss me. Okay? Think of it like a eulogy.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
Got it?
We're on board.
Got it. Abigail!
This is definitely a recipe for disaster. Because John's feed, I feel like, will inevitably go back down, and then John's definitely going to be upset with whatever. Even expressing our love is not, there's no way it's going to satisfy him. He will listen to the show back to in the bath tonight, and he will come back furious on Friday at both of us.
With again, whatever that we left out
exactly,
or we didn't say or yes.
By the way, I am still here. Sucking like I'm not. Save all this. Gee whiz. All right. So the DOJ told the IRS to remove the special investigation team that was investigating, quote, a controversial or political figure. Basically, it was Hunter Biden. They're not allowed to say, but that's who it was. So the entire team that was investigating it was taken off. The DOJ told the IRS, get rid of the team. So they got rid of the team. And one of the reasons they did, they're saying, well, there's no retaliation. If you want to call the hotline as a whistleblower, we'll give you the information. But they took it away. I got to give CBS a lot of credit because, you know, it's a big story when it's not in the Washington Post and the New York Times. So this guy comes forward, and Jacob, you're going to have to fire this down. So this, the man that had been working on this particular case had been with the IRS, I think, for like 14 years or something like that. He's one of the whistleblowers explaining that they were, the people above him were slow walking and taking unusual steps when it came to the information that we're finding out about Hunter Biden's tax returns. Here's this IRS agent.
When I took control of this particular investigation, I immediately saw it, you know, it was way outside the norm of what I've experienced in the past.
Gary Shapley is a supervisory special agent for the IRS, where he's worked for 14 years. In January 2020, he was assigned to what he calls a high-profile investigation.
Who's the subject of the investigation?
I can't confirm or deny the subject of this investigation.
Why not?
Because, you know, part of the tax secrecy laws don't allow it.
Shapley can't say it, but CBS News has learned the investigation was the probe of Hunter Biden by the Trump-appointed U.S. attorney in Delaware. Senior Biden administration officials have vowed to let it run its course without interference.
It's not restricted in his investigation in any way.
But CBS News has obtained this letter Shapley's lawyers sent to Congress Monday, alleging irregularities in DOJ's handling of the investigation. Shapley is seeking legal protections from Congress so he can share specifics of his allegations.
There was multiple steps that were slow walked at the direction of the Department of Justice.
Had you ever encountered that before?
I have not, no. These deviations from normal process, that, and each and every time it seemed to always benefit the subject.
Shapley says he decided to blow the whistle after a heated meeting last October with federal prosecutors.
It was my red line meeting. It just got to that point where that switch was turned on, and I just couldn't silence my conscience anymore.
Did you let prosecutors know you were unhappy?
I don't think I can answer that.
Hunter Biden has denied any wrongdoing.
Like civil servants.
The IRS agent told us he is a registered Republican. His whistleblowing is being assisted by an advocacy group with past ties to the GOP. But Shapley says this is not about politics.
Why do you want to navigate these waters?
I don't want to do any of this. I took an oath of office, and when I saw the egregiousness of some of these things, it no longer became a choice for me. It's not something that I want to do. It's something that I feel like I have to do.
Mm-hmm. This story will go away, by the way. He will testify on Friday, but it will be closed to the press, and the public will not hear his testimony.
This investigation has been going on for 5 years now. which is, when you think about it, I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, it's potential outstanding tax debt from his time as a board member of the Burisma company, as well as a false statement for a gun purchase. So these are not, you know, I mean, this is something that they could have figured out relatively quickly, you think. But 5 years now.
Mm-hmm. The IRS has been weaponized before. There's plenty of examples of it. The DOJ has been weaponized before. We've seen it before. And they've done it again. But again, when do you make this a story? CBS puts it out there. It's going to not get any legs. Unless the rest of the media, slash Democrats, want to take Biden down. You can start to heap a whole bunch of this stuff on him, because then eventually you'd be able to see connections possibly between Hunter's IRS tax returns and the 10% to the big guy. And where is that investigation? Where is the blood in the water where the press starts to ask all these questions? They don't want to. They don't want to ask. They don't want you to find out. This is part of the corruption of the entire government. And the fact that this guy's like, look, I tried to tell him about it. They got rid of the entire investigation team. The whole team's gone. So who's in there now? Do you start all over again? Do you handpick the people that are supposed to be in there investigating this, making sure they're the right people that aren't going to be whistleblowers? Just the corruption. I mean, it's a banana republic sort of operation. Just, it's pathetic. But again, let's remember, we don't want it in any way. We don't want no threats on democracy. Let's not have any threats on democracy. Oh my gosh, democracy. Oh, the January 6th rioting. There was a threat against democracy. How about this? How about this is a threat against democracy? How about just the fact that parts of the government are stopping other parts of the government from investigating what could be wrongdoing because they want to protect their guy? Is that not a threat to democracy?
Whew. And I wonder what this guy gets out of it, because, you know, whistleblowers often do this because they get a piece of the action if there's a big settlement or whatever happens. Yeah. I don't see this, that doesn't seem to be the case here, right? There's no money to be made, by him coming forward, right? He can't profit from this particular action. So he's doing it. Yes, he's a Republican, but he's doing it because he felt like this was outlandish how much time it was taking, and the fact that he never had seen anything like this before that should not have been, interrupted like it had been.
Well, remember how brave all the whistleblowers were that were coming before and talking about Trump and the phone call that he made to Ukraine and the, and they were so brave. What was that guy's name? Vittman or whatever, they standing there in his Vittman. Military uniform. Vittman, yeah. And then he wrote a book about it. Oh, God, it was to stand up against Trump, and he was just an amazing individual. Why can't we find more heroes like him? Well, how about this guy? Nope, silence. Crickets from the Post, crickets from the New York Times. ABC did a story. I looked up to see ABC did a story on local news or local weather. NBC did something as well. Then they did something on Target. You know, they're not going to cover it. Just let it go. Because, again, they don't want to rock the boat. That's their guy. You got a great mentally incompetent individual that you can basically have him read most of the words that are written down on the teleprompter and just run roughshod over anybody that's sitting there behind the big desk at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Flight attendants giving some rules of etiquette for everybody that you haven't flown in a while, or maybe you're going to be heading out this summer. And we just heard from Aaron that apparently SeaTac is going to see more people flying out for Memorial Day weekend. And they've written through, oh, it's a list. I hate lists. But just hit some of your favorites on here that you've never done, Sherry.
Clean up after kids. Let's see.
You don't have kids.
Okay. Let's see. No one wants to hear your FaceTime conversation. So that's stop good. With the speakerphone thing. I think that's a good one. This is my favorite. Keep your socks on. How about this? Mm. Keep your shoes on completely. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. You can move your seat back. You can recline your seat, but there's a proper way to do it. Don't just push it back. You need to politely ask the person or make sure that the person doesn't have the tray table out and a laptop on it and say, would you mind if I recline my seat? Here's one that kind of surprised me and grossed me out. Flush. Evidently, there are people that can't find the flush button in the lavatories. And she's saying, if you can't find it, please let them know and they'll help you flush.
This doesn't stop me from flushing anything, but I will say I'm a little bit frightened by the toilets on airplanes.
By the loud
not, I don't appreciate that, Andrew.
You're not supposed to sit on it when you flush. You're supposed to be standing.
Right. Yes? I heard that's terrible old wives' tales or whatever you'd call them, urban legends about that, being able to suck your insides out into the
danger
thing. I know. Oh, I've heard that. That if you flush while you're sitting, that the amount of force
pull
can
pull at your large intestines. Yeah.
Right.
You pull your entire large intestines out. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess, I don't know what it is.
Got
they're
like
just
48 feet. You have 48 feet of large intestines. So it would grab part of it and then you'd be able to walk back all the way back to coach about 47 feet until all of a sudden. Now Jake's Googling how many, how large is your large intestine.
I don't want to learn any more about this. No.
All right. Can I have a couple rules?
Yeah.
Don't wear your pajamas. Stop wearing pajamas. And by the way, if your kid is, that just wants to be comfortable. Nope. Nobody wants to see your teenage kid or you walking around in pajamas at an airport. No slippers, no pajamas.
Are you talking like full on top matches bottom? Are you talking
about the person who's got this sloppy sweatshirt on and then the pajama pants on with bananas or Fred Flintstone heads or some stupid thing. And they're slogging through the airport and they've got their bag and the kid's like, their pajamas. Put some clothes on, all right? The fact that you pajamas on tells me you got out of bed, and I'm going to assume you got out of bed and you went into the car and then went to the airport with your gross pajamas on. Put some clothes on. Have some respect for yourself and everybody else around you.
And if you did that, you probably didn't brush your teeth, which is really gross.
Oh, that's not even thought of in the entire equation. But people look like they were in bed, and then the next minute, the magic, like, airplane fairy came to them and bing! And they spun around, and now, oh my gosh, I'm in the airport now.
I think it's more about comfort, where they think of the airplane as a couch or a comfy chair, even though it's not. And so, therefore, they're not going to wear something that's binding or tight or whatever. So, why not just wear your drawstring pants? Did we lose John?
It happened again. It's just, it's like that. It's just gone.
Here's my other suspicion, is that his connection is fine. He just wants us to say nice things about him. So he's just sitting there in silence, pretending that it doesn't work. But
One, miss him already. I don't know about you guys, but I am a little bereft. I'm not sure. How are we going to go on without him?
Yeah, Jacob? No. The thing that I miss most about John is about he's back. Wow, you missed it, John.
I will be listening tonight. I will be listening tonight.
You won't be disappointed.
And I better have heard some tears. I better have heard one of you choke up.
Almost.
Were getting there. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a matter of time.
Thank you. All right. One last thing is the fact that apparently SeaTac Airport is among the least angry airports in the country. I questioned this study, but they looked at Twitter, and I guess they looked at all the different airports and how many people tweeted horrible things about, oh, the line is awful, or TSA is awful, or this or that's awful, or whatever. And they found out that Seattle has the least amount of angry people going through the airport.
Yeah, but it's not that low. 42% of tweets directed at SeaTac were still considered angry. But compared to, say, John Wayne Airport in Orange County, 65% were angry tweets. Jacksonville, Florida, the airport in Omaha, Nebraska, Tampa, Florida, these were also in the top 10 of the angriest tweets. So still 42%, that's still pretty high.
But don't you think people that are on Twitter and tweeting stuff out are normally tweeting things that are high on sort of the human response level, either really, oh my gosh, this is the best taco I've ever had, picture of it, hashtag great taco, or oh my god, I'm standing in line, I'm literally dying, TSA lines are so long, hashtag literally dying, TSA, hashtag. Aren't those the people that are using Twitter anyway? Are they more likely to complain?
Well, sure. I mean, Twitter is not about the mediocre. Twitter is about the extreme, you know?
Hashtag so mediocre.
You'd love it or hate it. That's why you would tweet something out.
Mm-hmm. I went to have lunch with somebody the other day, and I like the guy. He's a nice guy. I'm talking about some business stuff. And when they put the meal down in front of him, which happened to be beef stroganoff, he took out his phone and took a picture of it. And immediately I was like, ugh. That's going to cost you 7 points.
And that's so old school. Like, does any who does that anymore? I mean, that was.
You mean order beef stroganoff?
Well, that too. I was going to wonder about that, but I didn't want to bring it up. But that, yeah, I mean, nobody takes pictures of food anymore. That was back like 10 years ago when people were posting stuff on Facebook.
Yeah. I thought, like, this guy could be my friend. And then when that happened, I was like, nope, I'm going to have to write him off. Sorry.
You could give him another chance.
I can't.
Otherwise, was he okay as a person?
It soiled the whole meal for me. I couldn't even look at him at that point.
Okay. Well, okay.
Sorry. And I know Jacob always takes pictures of his food.
No, he doesn't.
All right. I was only off the air for less than a minute.
Right.
A minute
we didn't have a lot of time. Yeah.
To work yourself up. Right.
Hopefully next time it's longer.
A lot of keening where you're rolling back and forth, leaning and crying. I want to hear some keening next time.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Did I mention Bucky's? I take that car of yours to Bucky's. Bucky's Auto Service Centers with 16 locations. They've been around for 53 years. They'll fix that car of yours. Push it on in there to Bucky's. Bucky's Auto Service Centers. All right, Target's back in the news again. Celebrating Pride Month, and they were selling stuff and word got out, and people were like, come on, Target, really? Some of the clothes that you've got on there in the kids' department, you know, why are you doing this? And they didn't like the bathing suits that men can wear, the female bathing suits that men can wear that hide the fact that they're men. It's, what do they call it? Pouch?
Tuck friendly.
Okay.
Yeah. And they really weren't. I mean, this has been widely reported.
Sounds
that
like a
somehow...
name from like an old 60s television show. Like a,
yeah. Hey, everybody.
Hey,
it's Tuck Friendly.
Sheriff, I'd like you to meet Tuck Friendly. He runs
Tuck?
A local general store. Hey, kids, get away from that penny candy.
So.
Okay, Mr. Friendly.
Right. Thank you, Tuck.
Moving on.
No, so these were not children's bathing suits. These were women's bathing suits that were tuck-friendly, designed for men.
Wait, women need to wear bathing suits? Wait. They're women's bathing suits, so men can wear them, and then you don't notice that they're men, right?
Correct.
That's
yeah, but
is.
Not okay. For children. They've made that abundantly clear. There was no involvement in the children's department or anything like that.
Okay. But they had T-shirts that were like queer, queer, queer. You kids
right.
could wear those and stuff. So people are upset about it. They don't like it. They went in there. They protested. And then the CEO of Target, you know, sent out this letter. You know, we're very, you know, we're creating places that all of you can heal from. All of you team members, you can find some place for healing. And there's a website you can go to and find out if you've suffered any emotional damage from people coming in and yelling at you. It's like, oh, my God. Hey. CEO of Target, you closed almost 200 Targets because people went in there and burned them down and destroyed them, stole everything they could steal from your Target stores, 200 of them, burned them down in Minneapolis. And then the CEO, I see the pain. I understand now the pain we're all feeling. The pain of what? Oh, that's right. It's, you know, it's systemic racism. So we're going to do everything we can because we feel so bad. So some people go in and protest and they might knock down a few of your T-shirts or get mad or scream. But those are all the bad people. But the people that went in there and set your store on fire, those people need to be better and be understood. And really, we need to learn and grow from their anger. What a load of crap.
And Gavin Newsom had quite a bit to say about this.
Did he?
Oh, yes.
He wants to
of
be
course.
President. He wants to be president.
Yes, he had to get in on the act here. He basically said, you know, that he's talking about the CEO of Target, Brian Cornell, selling out the LGBTQ community to extremists is a real profile in courage. This isn't just a couple of stores in the South. There is a systematic attack on the gay community happening across the country. Wake up, America. This doesn't stop here. You're black, you're Asian, you're Jewish, you're a woman, you're next. So
okay,
he
good.
Is sounding the alarm bells that they're coming for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Target's
right,
coming
right.
for you.
Right. They came for my tuckable swimsuit, and I said nothing. That's a nonsense quote. That's someone trying to throw gasoline on the fire. That man shows you what he'd like people to do. Scare everybody, right? You know, Jack did a really good job. I was listening back yesterday on the show. He said, you know, his theory was it was exploitation of a medical condition. And I agree with that. So it's gender dysphoria. They've changed the terminology, but it's gender dysphoria. So what they're saying is here's somebody with a medical condition that is very real. It affects primarily young boys. Normally they begin to show some evidence of gender dysphoria by the age of 4. And it is a, it must be a horrible feeling to be, feel as if you're in the wrong body. It is a medical, mental condition, gender dysphoria. But I think what Jack was, and I don't want to misquote him, but no, it's basically, you know, you're sort of popularizing this thing, right? And when really you should be, the people that need help with it, if you're an adult and you, whatever you want to do with your body, that's fine. If you can get some sort of comfort and you don't feel as if this thing is, you know, tearing you apart and you're able to deal with your gender dysphoria in some way and you get some medical relief somehow, fine. But the whole idea of people want to draw the line on kids, you know, consenting children. What point can the kid consent? And are you encouraging kids to sort of, you know, take on, to self-diagnose that they've got a real mental medical condition?
But a lot of people believe that this medical condition now has become just a trend, that it's really not a medical condition, that people are jumping on the bandwagon. Young people are jumping on the bandwagon because, you know, they had a friend that, that decided they didn't want to be a woman anymore. So they're going to do these, you know, different things to, create an androgynous look or whatever. They may not want to go through with the surgery and actually have all of those alterations made to their body, but they are kind of a part of this, these groups in school and things like that.
Yeah.
So
it's
in that case,
it's a social contagion. Yes,
yeah.
It's a social contagion. Yes.
It's not really, it goes sort of beyond the medical condition because I think anybody that really has that, there's real sympathy for that. I don't think anybody's, you know, and as far as Target goes, I mean, Target can sell whatever they want. As long as it's not for children, who cares? I mean, if they want to sell a bathing suit that's got this thing in it, then don't buy it. I mean, it's, you know,
duck friendly.
If you don't want to wear it, don't buy it. I kind of agree that it was a little strange that they caved that easily. In some places they just moved all the merchandise from the front of the store to the back of the store.
Well, you saw what happened. Their stock has gone from 162 to 147. They've lost about 9% of their revenues.
Right.
And they got hurt in 2017, I think it was, when people were upset about their bathroom rule. So then that hurt them. So then they decided they're going to spend, I don't know, how many millions and millions of dollars, and they built different bathrooms in the stores. And, you know, the Target audience is like the Walmart audience, primarily conservative, family-oriented, and they don't want that stuff pushed on their kids, so they're reacting to it. But again, when you burn the store down, we understand your pain, okay, and it's on us. But when you come in and you scream and yell and maybe toss around a couple of racks of t-shirts, well, then you're an evil person. That's the crazy world that these people live in. Wow, look at all the letters are pouring in. Teeny Tiny's working hard. When she wears that cute little terry cloth sweatband around her forehead, and she's got them on her wrists as well. Come on, Sherry. I know you got a soft spot for her.
That's a little 90s.
All you're doing is talking about my dress and my hair.
No, we're talking about your sweatband around your head.
It's kind of a Jane Fonda look.
Yeah, got leg warmers on. All right, hey, a little bit of feedback from everybody. Oh, boy. The natives are upset. People are upset about Hunter Biden. 253 says it's probably the reason Biden wants to run for president again, just like Trump, to protect himself and his son from criminal charges. Hot take.
425 says you should talk about Matt Taibbi and the IRS showing up and leaving a note on his door.
Hot take. I'm going to run that one into the ground. Harm reduction, 206 says it seems People have a hard time understanding the difference between enabling and compassion. Enabling someone is to continue on their downward spiral is not compassion. Allowing somebody to live in a tent till they die and hang halfway out of a tent for a pastor, for a passerby, just like you casually walk by this dead person, that is not compassion. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jeff in Port Angeles says the former junkie is more qualified to console than the 4-year degree. There are plenty of formerly addicted people that would be glad to have degrees paid for.
That's Jeff. I know Jeff. He writes me all the time. Hi, Jeff. Yeah, he has quite the story. I think we had him on once talking about he was a Marine and then got addicted to drugs and then was all sorts of messed up. He's been able to turn his life around. 253, is Sherry going to write a book of all the jobs she's ever had? Holy cow. Not a joke. Not a joke. That's all right. I'm not having a lot of jobs. Sherry, that's
no,
okay.
No,
life experiences.
I'm proud of it. Here's something about the feedback segment. Roger in University Place says, by the way, am I the only one who hears a similarity between the feedback song and the theme song for Land of the Lost?
On a routine expedition, met the greatest earthquake ever known. High on the rapids, it struck their tiny raft.
Yeah, really?
Now that song doesn't have any goats in it, so it's very different.
That was with the Sleestaks, wasn't it? Wasn't that Holly, Will, and something or other, and the Sleestaks coming after them, and it was they were in the Land of the Lost? Was that it?
I think so. Do you think that Andrew could doctor up the feedback song like he does the letters song?
Yeah, he could add a lot. He's got lots of time on his hands.
Yeah. I already added a lot. Like, I don't know if I can add anymore. It's bursting at the seams right now.
You know what I'm looking for.
Talk about the connection that keeps dropping. Fox LNG. Jacob, just say that he lit up a room and you're good. This is if I told everybody that the connection goes down for some reason, then just they should be utilizing me.
Eulogizing?
Eulogizing me. Sorry. Uh-huh. I wish my connection went down just before I tried to say that word. John and Black Diamond, grade A production today, guys. Maybe you guys should think about moving to Twitter space. Yeah, that Twitter thing was really uncomfortable. 400,000 people tried to log on and watch when Ron DeSantis made the big announcement. And man, it was awkward. But here's the good news. What if nobody logged on, or what if only 30,000 people logged on, right?
Well,
They're
pitching it as he broke the internet because he's so popular. I heard 900,000 people were trying to, which was a record for Twitter.
Oh, okay. Well, look up government websites crash, and there's quite the list. Yeah! There you go. And Andrew's going to add more to that song. All right, Sherry, because I know what you're looking for.
Thank you.
You are big in the scatological department.